This is WNYC. I'm Amy Eddings. A new series about detectives investigating a potential serial killer in rural Louisiana is one of the most talked about shows of the new year.
I'd consider myself a realist, all right? But in philosophical terms, I'm what's called a pessimist.
Okay, what's that mean?
It means I'm bad at parties.
Let me tell you, you ain't great outside of parties either.
Those are the voices of Woody Harrelson and Matthew McConaughey, who star as partners who don't really get along in HBO's True Detective. The show has won fans for its twisty plot structure, its great cinematography, and strong performances. But it has been criticized for its lack of interesting women characters. Here to talk about this is Slate TV critic Willa Paskin. Welcome back to WNYC, Willa.
Glad to be here.
We have seen many, 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 many shows about detectives and police officers. How is True Detective different, if at all?
I think the first thing is that it's just a little bit smarter. There are a lot, as you said, a lot of shows about serial killers, about people trying to find serial killers, about people trying to solve all sorts of murders. And this one is, though it starts with a very graphic murder, is really not as interested in that. It's really about this relationship between these two characters, Rust Cole and Marty Hart, played by McConaughey and Harrelson. And Rust in particular is a very unique figure for TV. He knows a lot about philosophy. He's sort of metaphysical. He talks in his very, you know, captivating Southern heady drawl. And it's really about these two men who are involved in this very sort of sick crime and figuring it out.
The women on True Detective are treated quite poorly, but you think there's a good reason for that.
I do. You know, it's a trope, again, of murder shows for there to be corpses that are female. But I think True Detective is about very specifically sort of what men do to women. You know, as it's evolved, it seems as though it's about a group of men or a man who have been sort of perpetrating crimes against women that haven't been uncovered and have sort of just gone unnoticed by the police and unsolved and unremarked upon. So I think the show, as opposed to being oblivious to how it treats women, is very, very cognizant of it.
So the misogyny of a police force is exactly what is commented on in True Detective.
Absolutely. It's about these two men who live in this extremely macho world and don't actually pay very much attention to women themselves. And the show, I think, is showing us their point of view and occasionally hints that it has a sort of higher consciousness than they do about kind of their point of view.
The performances on True Detectives have been particularly praised. What do you think of them?
I think they're great. I mean, Matthew McConaughey is in the middle of his reconnaissance. Someone on the internet has coined this term. It's a great term. And it's true. You know, he's really doing so much captivating work. It's so fun to watch him. He may win an Oscar. He's sort of the front runner this weekend. And Woody Harrelson, who, you know, they have a sort of similar kind of slacker, stoner, alluring vibe. And it's fun to watch them sort of bang off each other because they're really different types. And then they have this sort of connection. They seem like they belong in the same universe.
Let's move to another show that's being talked about a lot, and that's House of Cards. Netflix released all the episodes of season 2 on Valentine's Day. We've had more than a week to get our binge watching done. How do you think this season compares to the first season?
I think it's a little bit less good. I have some conflicted feelings about House of Cards in general, but I think the thing the first season had that was really great was it had some antagonists for Frank Underwood, the character played by Kevin Spacey. It had some real, like, threats to his rise to power. And for various reasons in the second season, all the kind of credible threats to him have dissipated or are just not as smart as him, and sort of he's his only enemy. And it lacks a lot of dramatic tension.
And yet the big question among critics was, why did I keep clicking next to watch the next one? It's empty, it's vapid, there wasn't a lot of there, and yet I felt compelled to keep watching.
One of the things that's really interesting about binge watching, and I think this is to Netflix's credit, is they've sort of defined it up. You know, we've all done a lot of things where we watch too much TV some Saturday morning, and it wasn't because the show was good. It was just because the show was on. But Netflix has kind of made us rethink what it means to watch too much TV in a row as being this really sort of heightened, rarefied behavior. And obviously, a lot of people have binge-watched a lot of really great shows like The Wire or The Sopranos or Mad Men or Breaking Bad. A lot of people caught up on those from binge-watching. But that doesn't mean that when you watch too much TV in a row, it's automatically a good show. And I think something like House of Cards really proves that to hit the next, to hit I want to see the next one, it's like the rats hitting the sugar bar, you know? It doesn't have to be super great. It just has to be good enough. And House of Cards is certainly good enough without, I think, being particularly good.
Willa Paskin is Slate's TV critic. Thank you so much, Willa.
Thank you.
This is WNYC.